A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Roots.
Yes, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the show. Kimbo and the Roots with you on a cool and wet Wednesday afternoon. We're live from Studio Lumo SA, all thanks to our wonderful friends at Balfour's, who have been baking people happy since 1853. And what better weather to be hopping into a hot Balfour's footy pie, or maybe one of their delicious potato pies, or if you like the Roots, a sausage roll.
Party people!
Roach, here he is. Roach, here he is. Hey! Roach, shakalaka, shakalaka.
Hello, Roachy, Roach,
yes,
Roach.
Yes, yes, perfect day for some hot Balfours.
Yeah, I know. You're a sausage roll man, yes. With no sauce. How
no
boring.
Sauce.
They've always been third down the pecking order for me.
Not as boring as my toast, though, is it?
No, you have toast with absolutely nothing else on it. So that's just hot bread.
Yes.
Burnt bread.
Yes.
Yeah, I know. You're an interesting unit. Yeah, third on the pecking order for me, the sausage rolls.
Right.
I used to always be, and I still am, pasty, pie, then sausage roll.
Pre-game?
No, that was Aldo Rushen when I was a little boy.
Some famous footballers pre-game with the old Balfours before a game.
That was what I was saying, Roach. Yeah. Aldo Rushen, who played for West Adelaide, was a ruckman. When I was a little kid, it made the papers. And I remember saying to Dad, why would he do that? He ate a pie at half time. Well, legend has it, anyway. All right, I don't know if he's still with us, Aldo, but
if
you are,
give us a call.
Yeah, give us g'day. Anyone can give us a call. The number is 1300 736 736. We've got our panel operator back, Brendan Lines. Linesy, he's been off with COVID.
Oh,
we're like cockroaches,
oh,
Roach. So I don't want to say this too early, but we're the only ones that haven't had it.
Oh, touch wood here.
Yeah. So we got Benny out there looking after the phones. If you want to give us a call,
he's been there too, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had it twice. Once. I put the finger the other way, Ben. I'll tell you what. Have some respect. Or you can text us on 0427 154 166. Talking of respect, Roach, you showed me little yesterday when I innocently asked you.
Yes.
When we had the chat about who'd be coaching where, because at one stage we thought there were six coaches up for grabs and different positions. And I said to you yesterday about GWS, who did you pick?
I couldn't remember.
Well, were you just... No, it's not a matter of not remembering. You said, no, I nominated a group. I didn't select anyone in particular.
We put together a list of who would be the candidates.
Are you standing by that?
Well, that's my memory of it. Was now, it? Bear in mind, I do go into pillar and post because I'm blind. I keep hitting things. So it could be like you. I could have concussion damage.
Don't bring it back to me just because I inadvertently said Brad Crouch as opposed to Matt Crouch. And you've been
it was a long day
me.
Of name
no, it wasn't.
Stuff up by you.
It was not. There were two.
Say yes, because we've got a good concussion claim for you coming.
Well, no. Well, I don't want that. Ben, get out.
So
Ben,
what did we find out?
You can't even name the other two. Well, look. We don't want to bore people.
Wow, you're in a grumpy mood.
I'm in a great mood.
You're taking people down left, right and centre.
Well, Ben just came in and put... He's already given me one thing and now he just said three.
Well, when he gives you two, then get worried.
Well, it means the same, Rich. I don't know where you've been the last 30, 40 years. Anyway, we don't want to bore people. If you want to know who was right and who was wrong, because Rooch, he's got a degree in changing the narrative when it comes to arguing.
Right.
And you got away with it for years at AA because you speak in such a polite and balanced and measured way. And when my mum was still with us, God love her, she used to say, I think he's really intelligent. I said, Mum, don't fall for that. And why do you pick on him? Mum, you don't know what he's really like.
Oh, dear.
Anyway, if you want to find out who was right and who was wrong in that little tay-to-tay yesterday, we can play it. Ben's gone to the vault.
Has he?
And I don't mind being wrong, Roach, as opposed to you. Doesn't bother me.
Why do I feel nervous here?
Well, you shouldn't.
Why? What did I do?
You might be right.
Oh, dear.
But the thing is, we went to an ad break yesterday.
Yes. Oh, yes.
And that's when you arced up. You're saying, no, I didn't.
Well, I can't remember nominating anyone.
Well, you might be right. So if anyone wants to know, you can text us. If not, we'll just forget about it. I'm not here to embarrass myself.
Very good.
Although I do like
putting Scott Burns' name forward.
You did, and you thought of that yourself, did you?
No, I'm just giving you a thought that I had. I don't know how many other thoughts there are out there.
All right, well, we'll get to that.
I'm not owning that, Kim. Well, I'm just saying I like Scott Burns every time.
Do you? But you didn't nominate anyone before.
I don't think I did.
No, you don't? All right, well, if anyone's interested, text us. Otherwise, we won't go there, all right? We don't want to be self-indulgent.
But I am intrigued as
please
to how...
Please text.
...how GWS is going about it. Because they've been very quiet.
I know.
Just like your man, Alistair Clarkson.
Yeah, well, because he's going to Essendon and Don Pike will be going to GWS.
Guests
coming up today, looking forward to it. 4:10, Rooch will be joined by the Tump, Jimmy Tumpers. Eagles play Norwood this Sunday at 2:05 at Mourne Team Oval.
Mm.
Getting serious now. They've been a major player, the Eagles, taking the flag out the last 2 years. They were due for back-to-back.
Oh, yes. Yeah, right.
They're the hunted now, though, but it's a big game. Eagles in fourth position, Norwood in fifth position. There's only one game between the two clubs. Eagles need top three. Very hard to win the flag from fourth or fifth.
I wouldn't dismiss the Eagles. Yeah. September specialists.
All right. And Norwood are only on percentage in with Sturt just behind them in the top five.
That is tight.
Now, looking forward to chatting to Matt Rendell, the AFL list guru, at 4:35. We've got some simple questions for him. Mm. We're going to ask him about Matt Crouch. We don't know what his answer is on this.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah, Benny sent him the topics for today, what his views are, what he's worth, should they hold on to him? Is it more incumbent upon the club to get the best out of him? He was All-Australian, best and fairest, when they were the best side in the competition. He's in the prime of his footballing life at the age of 27, if his body's okay.
If they got Josh Dunkley, as you wish them to do, how does that change the equation?
No, well, you get Lairdy to the back pocket. Sorry, Lairdy, hope he's not listening.
Goodness. You have a complex, right?
You have Keys.
Yep.
Dunkley and Matt Crouch.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And Haitley can rotate through as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Big body mid.
Right.
And then you haven't got a lot of speed. So,
no.
Anyway, we'll ask him about that. Mm. You've got a question, Rooch, that you want to pose.
Yeah, if we were to go to a Tasmania comes in next year and they're allowed to pick players free, like we did in the AFLW, you can even get contracted players there through the Port Adelaide, Essendon, Hawthorn and Sydney. You could just raid the competition. If you were the Tasmanian list manager, and you had to choose between Darcy Fogarty and Todd Marshall, who would you pick?
That's right now.
Right now?
Yeah. You brought this up last night, and I think it's an unfair question.
Yeah, but you've got to look to the future when you're list managing.
Yeah, no, I understand that. But the body of work we've seen from Todd Marshall since the showdown, round three, he's a good 6 weeks ahead of Darcy Fogarty in terms of what he's shown the last 3 or 4 weeks. So we're running a poll. Bumfluff Benny's put it up on our Twitter account, the Run Home SENSA. If you had to recruit just one of those players today, would it be Todd Marshall or Darcy Fogarty? We've got a lot of activity. At this stage, Rooch, I know you can see it, it's Marshall at 68%, Fogarty at 32%. Mm. And I can't imagine that changing, and I think that's fair enough.
I'll be interested what Matt Rendell has to say.
I thought it was a loaded question because you're trying to pump
Marshall up. No. It's just I find them both rather interesting for the way in which they've come into each club with a fair bit on their shoulders. And both teams have backed in their young forwards and we're now beginning to see something, aren't we?
Oh, I just think it's obvious what the answer will be. But look, I may be surprised. So you can get onto our Twitter account.
It's going to be good.
Run Home, SENSA, if you want to lodge your vote.
It's going to be good if they have long careers and we do the balance at the end and see what it's like then. That's what I'd like to have.
Yeah. Well, we'll guarantee you if we're here next year, Rooch, that we'll run that same poll at this time
next
year. Let's
do it annually for the next 10 years.
Yeah, well, hopefully they're both going well.
Text
coming through. Gents, Rooch tries hard to create the narrative that all of Port's losses were out of Ken's hands, but all of Port's wins were solely due to Ken's great coaching. The narrative now is Ken is 7 wins, 2 losses. The first 5 losses don't count. He specialises in changing the narrative. Oh, that's from Michael, your good friend.
No, it's not
Michael,
my narrative at all.
Can you send a text if you want to know who was right and who was wrong yesterday, and then we'll play the audio?
That's not my narrative about Port Adelaide and Ken Inkley.
I don't want to be indulgent, all right?
My narrative about Ken Inkley from day one, and we can find heaps of times where I've said it on the show, is you look at
where the football program is at. It has not deteriorated under Ken Inkley.
I agree. And they weren't bad in the first 5 weeks, apart from the Hawthorn game.
Oh, that was horrible, Kim.
Don't want to get involved in your infighting. Hi, guys. Crouch is too slow and his disposal is not penetrating anymore. He's always looking to go backwards or sideways. Move him on. That's from Nick. Mm. And I know that that's the narrative from a lot of people, but I think he's got a lot of good footy. I'll guarantee you, if he went up to Brisbane, if he went into Collingwood, and they're playing in winning sides, everyone will be going after 12 months, how'd you let him go? It's hard to look as effective when you're in a losing side.
Okay.
Yeah. So he'll go, then everyone will turn on Lairdy. Oh, he's getting a lot of the ball. They did it with the Brownlow medalist, with Tom Mitchell. They do it with Darcy Parrish.
Yep. And Dylan
Shearer. Are you going to be better without them?
Well, it's an interesting debate, and I'm looking forward to Matt Rendell's view on it, because he has seen Matt Crouch from the very beginning, hasn't he?
Oh, we're getting an avalanche here, Rooch. We want the audio. We want the audio. We'll do it after the break, Rooch. Okay. I mightn't be prepared to have egg on my face.
Now I'm really nervous. You were setting me up beautifully, aren't you?
No, you were adamant, and you were almost volatile in the ad break.
Well, okay. I just don't remember nominating anyone.
See, I'm just trying to poke you. This is the nice Michelangelo.
I think at best I might have said, if Ken Inkley's not at Port Adelaide, I'd love to see him go to GWS and win a flag there. All something right. like that I might have said.
You want to add anything?
I don't sure
All right.
that I did.
Oh, you were bloody sure in the ad break that you said nothing.
That I didn't nominate anyone?
No.
Right.
All right. Who has the best average goals per game?
Ooh, I'll look it up.
We'll look that up as well.
In the break,
yeah, we'll do that in the break. Don't do it now, Roach. The other question we'll be asking Matty Reddell now. Sorry for bossing you around. I do that. We're going to ask him about David Noble. A lot of people are saying he's dead man walking now because of Jeff Walsh coming in.
Yeah.
Now, Matty's worked with Jeff Walsh.
They would have crossed grounds at Collingwood, surely.
Yeah, so we'll get.
Well, he'll remember.
We'll get his take on it. And this is where I'm happy for people to say, oh, you're sticking up for a mate. I do feel a bit conflicted with David Noble, Reach. We'll do
Look,
it
the
after
key,
the break.
The key issue with North Melbourne is that admin, not the coach.
Well, he inherited the list.
Well, the list was already locked in
That's
by the
I
time
mean.
He got there.
So I think he's got to be given a bit more of a go.
Yeah.
At 4.50, Reach, we'll be chatting to Brett Phillips. I watched Wimbledon until about 2 a.m. last night. I watched Nick Kyrgios. I know you were sleeping, Reach.
Yeah.
Nick Kyrgios, fair dinkum.
You can't spit at a sporting event, can you?
He spat towards.
But you
30
just don't
meters
do
away.
It. You just don't
it's
do
just
it.
Everything else. I like watching him play as a tennis player.
Didn't he get tied up in knots in the press conference afterwards?
Look, we'll get to that. I think, how can I do this nicely? There's nothing more dangerous than a. Oh, I've got to be careful. No, I'll just say it. There's nothing more dangerous than a dumb person that thinks they're smart. I don't think he's that smart.
Yeah, well, he plays with fire and he's getting burnt by it now.
Yeah, anyway, we'll get into that. All right, lots to get through, Rooch. Before we go to our break, we will play the audio. We're getting a lot of texts on that. Okay. AFL Tribunal last night, we did do a little poll on it. We'll have the winner on that as well, and nearest the pin. I think it was the right result. 4 weeks for Tom Stewart.
Well, I hope Scott Lysett gets a retrospective game back then.
I didn't agree with that.
I know, but if that's where they set
been
the bar,
I know he
they brought
been
the bar down
three.
Again.
You've got to understand, well, there's 23 games in the season. You're banning someone for four games. For Scott Lysett, that
he
is a football action.
He got banned for four.
I know. I don't agree with it. I think four is fair enough. It is a big penalty. Let's hear from Tom Stewart when he was leaving the tribunal.
Well, as I said from the start, I accept the tribunal's decision. I was left to their discretion. And obviously disappointed in my actions, and I had to own that as a man. And still, my immediate response was Dion's wellness and that of his family that had to have had to experience this. So as disappointed and disheartened as I am right now, it's still not about me. It's still about Dion's well-being and how he is.
And one thing he's done, Tommy Stewart, even before the verdict was handed out, he has absolutely owned the situation.
As I've said from the start, I had to own my actions. I understood that I did the wrong thing. The grading system's there to adjudicate that, and they deemed it severe. Ultimately, what I chose to do resulted in somebody getting knocked out. That's not the way I play the game. Never has been. My actions resulted in a consequence that I didn't want to happen, so I had to own that.
Yeah, well said.
Yeah,
well said. Anyway, the tribunal has given him 4 weeks. That's a hefty suspension. I just think it's one short, considering where they had the bar with.
So you're going to give someone nearly a quarter of a season for something like that. That wasn't football action as crude as it was.
As I say, I think Scott Lysett's got every reason to ring the AFL and say, I want a game back.
Yeah, I don't have an argument with that. If he'd King hit someone, if it was a Brent Staker, Barry Hall type moment, I've got no problems with 6, 7 or 8. Yeah. We did do a nearest the pin on that for someone to win the Signet Boost Power Bank, valued at $59.95. With a Signet Power Bank, you don't have to worry about a low battery ruining your day. It's a portable charger. It's an absolute ripper. We had four people that picked four games. A lot of them went higher. We put it in a draw. And Louis from Largs.
Louis.
Yeah, Lewis, good on you. You've won that $59.95 Signet Boost Charger. We'll go to a break on time, Rooch, for once. A little bit, what have we got here? Number of texts. We'll get to those afterwards. Ken Hinckley spoke on SEN in Melbourne this morning. He made some really interesting comments. Alira Lear has done a press conference today. So has Jordan Butt. So we'll get to all those very shortly. We're live and we are interactive, all thanks to the Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel in stock now. And yes, we will play the audio to find out who was right and who was wrong.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roots.
3:54, just a reminder, coming up a little bit later, we'll be chatting to Jimmy Tumpus, the Tump, AFLS guru Matt Rendell, and Brady Phillips covering Wimbledon and previewing day three today after Nick Kyrgios got a scare last night. Stack of texts coming through. A lot of people want us to go to the audio Rooch to find out who's telling the truth, who's right or wrong. Mario says Kyrgios versus Rucci for the most irritating person in Australian sport.
Mario.
That's harsh, Mario. And he also says play the audio. We'll get to it. Here's one that's come through from Phil Rooch.
Yes.
He says, boys, are you going to have a guess at who both SA clubs pick up in the AFLW draft? We spoke to Sarah Blackfield last night, who is the AFLW chief footy reporter. And Root, she's pretty confident about who the first two picks will go to for Port Adelaide.
Yeah, and I'm having a look around some of the mock drafts that have been done. It's pretty clear in South Australia, Hannah Ewings from North Adelaide has been such a phenomenal player at state, all Australian level, that she'll be Port Adelaide's number one pick.
Midfielder, yep.
Interesting one, The Age is predicting that Saki Syme of Norwood, Port Lincoln girl, who's got all Australian honours, will be Port's second pick.
Okay, well, Sarah Black thought that their second pick, which is pick 7, would be Sarah Goodwin. She's a defender midfielder from Glenelg, yeah. And in terms of the Crows, Phil, their first pick comes in at pick 40, which sounds terrible, but they actually
get the fifth pick in South Australia.
Exactly, which Sarah made very clear. And there's a little bit of heritage with this one.
Clive Waterhouse's niece at South Adelaide.
And has a soccer background.
Well, yes, not surprised there, because Clive did too when he came out from England.
Yeah. Part two of Phil's text is, by the way, anywhere Matt Crouch goes will be a salary dump and the pick will reflect it.
Ooh.
Jack Watts was pick 31. Crouch would be that or later.
Gee, they're off on Matt Crouch, aren't they?
Well, he's been out for a year and look. I'm still a believer. And a couple of good texts coming through to ask the list manager or the list guru. There's one on Taron Thomas. Someone thinks he'd be great for Port Adelaide. Mm. All right. Rooch, shall we get this out of the way?
Yes, yes. Come on. Rooch, might as well.
We had a family argument. There was another one coming through, Rooch, saying play the audio.
We'll get it over and done with.
All right. So we were banging heads yesterday. I asked you who you thought would coach GWS.
Yes.
And you said, I didn't want to pick anyone. You didn't know who you wanted to do.
I wanted to give it some thought.
Yeah, and I said, well, we did a whole talk break on it with Matt Rendell going back, I think it was May the 18th or whatever. Mm-hmm. Anyway, this is just a little bit of it. We blew during the ad break. Here's a bit of us discussing who's GWS's coach.
I think we just came up with a field for GWS.
No, well, that suits your narrative now. I'll get Ben to go to the tape.
That's the way I remember it.
Yeah, well, of course you would.
Well, no, I haven't nominated anyone for GWS.
Now, we banged heads earlier, Rooch. You claim you didn't say who you thought would nominate to get that gig.
I didn't think I did.
Are you saying you don't think
I thought I only put together a list. I thought we were doing a list. No, Ben, you were the definitive one.
Oh, yeah. And when we're in the ad break, then it heated up. And you're saying, oh, I did not. And I said, well, why would we have a discussion point and then not give an opinion? Anyway, so Benny's gone to the audio. He said, we needed this sorted out. I said, let it go, Rich.
Did you?
I said, let it go.
Really? Wonder why.
And I said, look, if I'm wrong, you can play it, all right? Well, anyway, then I asked you last night, and you came up with Scott Burns.
Well, because I put a bit of thought to it.
Oh, did you? I wonder where you got that bloody idea from. This is what we did back on May the 18th. I think Pike or Scott Burns for GWS. Rooch, you are...
I'm staying with Clarkson.
You think Clarkson, okay.
And then
last night you've gone on to Scotty Burns.
Yes.
So you've stolen
my pick. You've told me Clarko's gone to Essendon.
You told me my pick too, hey? I want you to have a listen to this. Tell me what you think this is. Do you know what that sound is?
I don't want to guess.
No, well, that's a weasel. And that's you wheezing out of another situation. Mm. And this is the old truck, which I think is very applicable. And even Bill Laurie rang up.
Got it!
All right, I was happy
with that. Have you set me up here? Was it just out of the list I had to choose one of them? Or was that who I said would do it?
I swear on my mother's grave.
Right.
All right. Well, I knew that we did it, and then in the ad break, you were so stubborn. And now I understand how this builds up over years, and I feel for Michael and for Blake.
Do you?
I'm in their corner now. What have we got? We might have a good one for you, Rooch, maybe. Yes. Brett always says nice things. Brettie Boy says, G'day, Kimbo, the West Torrens legend, and the mighty Rooch. Good on Tom Stewart for his apology, but, in capital letters, I find that one comment quite funny that he says that's not how I play the game, but that is how, in the moment, he did play the game. So he is definitely one of those Darren Milburn-type mongrel defenders. Oh, I think everyone can have a lapse.
Yeah, that's unfair.
Yeah. I think you watch it again, and when Pressier taps the ball on Rooch, he does go back on an angle.
Yeah.
That's all happening at pace.
Yeah.
But he would have been pinged, even if he didn't get his head, for a late bump anyway.
Yeah, it's a bit like when that famous Koch and Franklin tribunal turned into a heap of sledging by the council. To say Franklin had a cowardly act doesn't mean he's a coward.
No.
You can... do foolish
things. That was inappropriate. That was inappropriate, though. I wouldn't even bring that up because that was wrong by the council.
I know, but I'm saying you can do a foolish thing without being a fool, can't you?
You've done it many times, Rooch. I'd probably qualify
for
both categories.
So Tom Stewart has done something which is like white line fever, but that doesn't mean he's a white line fever player.
I know what you haven't done before we go to the news is say that you're wrong.
All right, I was wrong.
Beautiful. Let's go to the news. The fool for the Holy Grail. 3 minutes past four on a Wednesday afternoon. We're here thanks to our good friends at Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. And we're live from Studio Lumo SA. The Tump. You know you've made it, Rooch, when you get a thee before your name, eh? The Rooch.
Yeah, fair enough.
I should have saved that for Jimmy. I'll bring that up. Quick text coming through, Rooch. Should I blaspheme? I'll change it. You'll work it out.
Right.
I'll elongate it.
Yeah.
For goodness sake, Rooch, stop going on about Lycett. He slung McHenry's head into the turf. The kid is a third of his size. That had the potential of being unbelievably dangerous, yet you go on like he was hard done by. Give it a rest. Now, that's Johnny from Prospect.
Well,
Thank you, John.
All I'm saying, if Scott Lycett is four, and I think Tom Stewart is of a level above that for what he did, it's an extra one on top of that. If it's four and four, Lycett's being hard done by.
Yeah, I've gone on about it a bit.
Yeah, well, it's my view.
So I always go a little bit lower if it's a footy action. And I agree with John. Well, I would have gone lower because it's a football action.
Yeah.
It's certainly reportable with the way the rules are.
We all accept that. Yeah.
And it could have been nasty, that one.
Could have.
But I just think they're massive penalties, massive. And I know they want to take injuries out of the game. Mm. But you play 22 weeks and to lose four games for a football action.
Excuse me, if you want to talk about injustice, let's do Ms. McKinnon. who misses a grand final.
Now, that was stupid by the
This is a grand final.
The
premiership medal she missed out on.
Yeah, and it was done on potential.
Yes, the potential to cause injury.
Didn't even hit her. That was one of the worst ones ever.
That is the greatest injustice of the AFL this year.
Pete from Canberra. Good on you, Pete. He's pumping us up, so I won't read it out. But he's enjoying you being exposed, Rooch, I think. Good. I'll paraphrase that, Pete.
Right.
Hi, Kimbo and Rooch. One for Matt Rendell. All right. Hi, Tarek Newchurch. All right, I'll get to that one. I'll come back to it, Matt, I promise. Hey, let's go to Kenny Hinckley. Mm. He was on our Melbourne Brekkie show this morning with Gary Lyon and Tim Watson. We'll go to the elephant in the room. Against my better judgment, this is Ken when he was asked about the rumours surrounding his departure from Port.
Oh, mate, I think half of people wanting me to move on, maybe, and the other half that it's a quiet news day, perhaps. I don't know, Tim. It's just ridiculous. I mean, I've been incredibly club and I have been incredibly loyal to each other, and you know we'd like to keep it that way. But you can't control. I often, you know, I said last time, you know, the reverse press conference is a great idea for me, but we know that things get said and written about other people, and whether it's me or someone else in this game, they just put your name up without any real facts to it.
Look, whether you like him or you dislike him, I think he's been an absolute beauty for your football club. He's given it credibility and he always handled it himself well.
And I can put every hand on a Bible, Kim, and say if anyone is suggesting that Port Adelaide and Ken Hinckley have had a discussion and have an arrangement, that is absolute rubbish.
Hmm.
They are pressing ahead with total commitment to each other, as it should be.
Yeah, well, that'll change if you don't make the eight.
But that's not where it's at the moment.
No, I understand that. But
so to suggest
might be truthful, Rooch, but if there's not chats going on behind closed doors, I'll go he for Chasey. Well, you've got to have contingency plans.
I don't think they're that sort of chat.
All right. Well, you're down there. Yeah. I'm not. This one interests me. We had a rule change last night in regards to the exclusion zone.
Yes.
Which is just farcical anyway, but maybe the AFL is starting to wake up and listen to the unrest that's out there. Kenny was asked about changing rules mid-season.
Yeah, I'm a common sense supporter, and I think that's what needed to be applied in some ways. There were some decisions getting paid that were just, the player had no option, had nowhere to go when they were caught.
Yep.
That rule wasn't brought in for that. The rule was brought in to allow the flow of the game and the continuation of the game, and I think the rule's been, you know, good for a lot of things, but you know, I think if the rule looks really wrong, why wait? That's all I'd say.
Yeah, good call by the AFL, because in the end they found out, as happens with every rule, the coach goes to the assistant coaches and says, lads, can we exploit this? And they worked out, yes, send a teammate through the exclusion zone, do the zigzag, lose the defender, and he gets caught for 50 metres.
Well, they should think about these things before they apply the rules.
Well, why don't they test run them?
Just quick one. We've got Jimmy Tumpas coming up. I agree with you, Rooch. They make rules on the run. This was Kenny. Do we need a red card?
No. Well, look, I think the game's a tough game to play, and I think it's a pretty clear and safe game most of the time. Accidents have happened. I don't know that AFL football requires a send-off rule. I think they're really well educated, but you know, when you see an incident like the weekend, I suppose it's, you can understand why people do reach out for that one a little bit, but they're really, really rare in our game, thankfully. And you know, I thought Tom and the way he explained things, he was, you know, very much remorseful about what had gone on, and things happen in the spur of the moment that you'd rather not happen, but most of the time I think the game's pretty good.
All right, we'll get back to Kenny a little bit later. We need to take a break. He talks about their upcoming opponent, Fremantle. That's going to be a cracking game. Really looking forward to that. We'll go to a break, Rooch, and on the other side, we'll be joined by Jimmy Tumpas. We're live from Studio Lumo SA.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
4:14 on a wet Wednesday afternoon. We're live from Studio Lumo SA. Kimbo and the Rooch.
That's it.
It got me thinking, Rooch.
Yes.
You've got to be fairly significant.
Absolutely.
In the world landscape when you get a "the" before your name. So you've got The Rock, Dwayne Johnson.
Yep.
The Don.
Oh, Sir
Don
Donald.
Bradman. The Bont, Marcus Bontempelli.
Yes.
And the Rooch and the Tump.
Yes.
Who joins us now from Woodville West Torrens. Hello, Tump.
Good afternoon, boys. That's some sort of introduction.
You won't get a better one. It's all downhill from here.
Hey, what about the Eagles cheer squad, Jimmy?
They've always been outstanding. I've known them for about 10 years, and they've always been very, very good.
They've got this enormous banner ready for you for your 100th game. When are you going to run through it?
Oh, I'm looking forward to it whenever it happens to be. No, I think it'll be the week after this one. So I hurt my calf a couple of weeks ago against the Doggies, and it put me out for a couple of weeks. But, yeah, the impending 100th is coming, hopefully soon rather than later.
Tom, that's the old man's injury. Paddy Dangerfield's got one. How old are you now?
I'm slowly creeping up on 30, coming on 29 January. So
young fella.
We are getting. I feel like I'm in my mid 50s the way my body's treating me at the moment. But slowly starting to slow up. But it's like I've still got a few years left in me.
So was it a knock or did you tweak a muscle?
No, I came back from a significant corky, which actually kept me out for about 3 or 4 weeks earlier in the year. And I came back to play 2 or 3 games and probably didn't get my strength in that calf muscle to where it needed to be. And there was a deficiency in there, which led to this small little strain. So, yeah, it was more a slight tear in the muscle rather than a knock.
Well, are you being dedicated or are you spending too much time on Eagles radio? Have you got your priorities wrong, Tom? Come on.
Maybe I need to focus on footy a bit more than my Tuesday night occurrence on Eagles radio.
But I've got the answer.
I'll take that on notice.
I've got the answer for you, Jimmy.
What's that?
You've got to go online to your McGarry Medal mate up in Queensland now and do his training course.
James, yes.
Yeah, you've got to get back on that training course, Cheetahs.
Might touch base with him.
Yeah, he'll help you.
All right, well, let's look at the big game this Sunday because it is a cracker. We spoke about it a little earlier in the program. We touched on it. You're the hunted this year. You're sitting in fourth place. You need to get into the top three, I suggest, if you're going to win your third flag in a row. But Norwood have a biggie. They're hanging on in fifth position purely by percentage over Sturt. So this is a big game, 205, Monteem Oval. How's the squad looking?
We're getting there. We've got a couple of soldiers out at the moment with Connor Ballardin, Clay Cameron, myself as well. We're getting there slowly. It's funny how footy can change so quickly where, you know, we fielded a team that was almost full strength against Centrals and we got done. And then a week later, we've got a few soldiers out and we get the job done against Westie. So we're getting there. We've got some good depth in the squad, so we should be able to cover some of those players. We're looking forward to getting them back, no doubt about it, but we'll have to cover them this week.
Tom, how do you explain losing to a side that's only won one game of the year, given where you are on the ladder and what you had to play for against the Doggies?
Yeah, it's a really good question and something we looked really strongly internally. It definitely wasn't soul-searching at all. It was probably just reviewing the game really heavily. And I think it was a real mindset thing, Kimbo. I don't think we went in with the right mindset, purely from a contest point of view. I think we just wanted a little bit easier than what Centrals did, and absolutely not all credit to them. They were really hungry. They worked harder than us, and they got the job done. And I think it's probably a test of the comp at the moment. I don't think Centrals are a 2-8 team or whatever their record is at the moment. They're really competitive, and we saw that with West Adelaide against us on the weekend as well. They, you know, took it to us. They took it to Glenelg a few weeks ago. So I think the competition's in good hands.
Doggies are 2-9, Rich.
So Jimmy, we're halfway through the year. We know the Eagles always take a hit through the draft. Where do you think team balances at a year on trying to find this new lineup?
Yeah, it's another good question. I mean, we have lost a few, particularly over the last 2.5 years, and that comes with success at sample level. You have a lot of players getting picked up in mid-season draft or the normal draft or as an SCP player like Jack Hayes and James Cheetahs got picked up. So it is difficult and does attest to some of the results we've had, particularly at the start of the year. You looked at our year last year, we started 3-3, and this year was something similar. So I think we're getting towards the right balance. It has taken a little longer this year to adjust, but I think we're slowly getting there, and hopefully you'll see that, you know, in the weeks leading up to finals. First of all, hopefully we make it, and I agree with you, Kimbo. I think we do need to make top three to secure a spot in the granny and hopefully win it. But hopefully you'll see that in the coming weeks to get that squad balance back.
On the younger players, Jimmy, Zach Buck was the Sandfall's Powerade breakthrough player for round 12. Tell us about him. What's his background?
Have you seen Bucky play?
No.
Okay, he's about 3'2" and got a mullet that's the size of Lockie Jones. So he's a you wouldn't miss him. He stands out very well, Bucky. But he's I love watching him play, and he's really built a lot of trust and respect within the group in a very short amount of time. He's a very reliable small defender, and we can give him a job and he'll get it done. But then on the flip side, his ball use is exceptional as well. It's probably an underrated asset he has. So he's been a really good addition to us.
So Caleb Daniel like then?
Pretty similar. Yeah. Very, very similar. And I think, you'll probably see that at sample level, the way he uses the ball, he's very composed and he's similar to Caleb as well. He's very hard at it.
Well, I'll have a look on line this week. If I'm not working, I'll definitely catch up on him. It's a massive game. Always great to catch up with you, Jimmy. We need to go to a break. Let's hope there's a big crowd there. It's a home game for you guys. 2:05 Sunday afternoon, Mourn Team Oval. Where would you rather be? Norwood taking on the Eagles. Good on you, Tump.
Good chatting, boys.
The Tump.
Jimmy Tumpus.
And the Rooch.
Could be a show.
And the Kimbo. That doesn't work.
That doesn't work.
No, all right. No need to get aggressive.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roots.
Nearly 4:26, appreciate your company and all the correspondence that's coming through on our text line 0427154166 and on the Twitter account as well, where Roots put out the question. The handle is The Run Home SENSA. It was a simple question. If you had to recruit just one of these players today, who would it be, Todd Marshall or Darcy Fogarty? I thought it was a loaded question because it, at this stage, has to be Marshall, in my humble Rooch. But it's
more the question of Matt Randell is, you're about to set up the Tasmania list, and these are two forwards you could pick. Yep. Which one of the two would you take?
So okay. Look,
projecting forward, who do you see the greater growth coming
okay.
from?
Okay, well, it's 36% Fogarty, 64% Marshall, all right? Just waving to a few people out the front well. There.
One's in a Port Adelaide jacket.
Yeah,
good
I know. I thought he was going to break in.
Oh, no.
There you go. Whoa. Hey, our chat to the Tump.
Well, if he does, you can go first.
Oh, surprise, surprise. one of the great war heroes, the Rooch. sample chat was thanks to Kia, Australia's most wanted, the Kia EV6 and Kia Sportage cars of the year. Hey, looking forward. For a number of different reasons to Saturday afternoon when the Crows take on Melbourne, because they played the bottom side last week, did what they had to do, won by 53 points. Now they're up against Melbourne, who they defeated in a massive upset last year. Simon Goodwin did his press conference today. He was asked about the Crows and playing them this weekend.
Yeah, it's a tough place to win, Adelaide. And obviously coming from Adelaide and being involved with that footy club for a long period of time, I know how proud they are to play on their home ground. And it's going to be a tough place to win. You know, we learnt the hard way last year in a really offensive type of game of footy. When they get the game looking the way they want and they get their crowd involved, they're a hard team to play against. So we've taken some learnings from that in terms of how we take on Adelaide Oval and how we take on the Adelaide Footy Club, and we're looking forward to that challenge. You know, it's another one that we just need to go over and present ourselves in the right way and get the job done.
He handles these press conferences very well now, all the company lines, clichéd answers, as you would expect. I'm interested on this one, though. I reckon we'll get much of the same again, but he was presented with a question about Luke Jackson and his contract.
Oh, no, Luke's, you know, just going through a process with his management and the club and looking at all these various options. You know, he's a young player. He's in his third season of AFL footy. And as I said, he's an incredibly talented player. You know, he's picked 3 in the draft. He's played 50 games. He's been involved in a premiership. So this will play out in its due course. And as I said, we're really hopeful, based on Luke's attitude towards his footy club and his team, that he'll want to be a part of the Melbourne Footy Club for a long time to come. So there's no rush to get this answer out of Luke. You know, he needs time to make his decision, and we'll give him the time he needs.
It's a big decision. You're part of a good program. You're in the window to win more flags. You're a WA boy.
There's no guarantee with that.
No guarantee. But he's in a very good program at the moment. He's obviously loving life.
Or you go home and bank $10 million.
That's exactly right. And still be in the window if you go to Frio.
Yeah.
Because he's a Frio boy.
Yeah.
Interesting. Hey, one more now, Rooch. Maybe I know I can be a bit picky at times, but I saw this one without hearing the response. And the grab is somebody over there at the press conference asked whether they were going to put a caller or tag Rory Laird or Ben Keyes. Is that a weird question?
Well, it shows a fair bit of respect towards Ben Keyes and Rory Laird.
You got the best midfield in the competition. You're sitting top of the ladder.
Yeah, just let him go.
Yeah, I thought it was a weird question.
The question might be the other way around, mightn't it? Which one of the Melbourne players, Simon, do you expect to get a call?
Well, that's what I would have thought. Yeah. And that's not being disrespectful to Lairdy or Keyes.
You've got him going to defence anyway.
Well, I'm just looking for team balance. Right. I love him dearly. I thought this was strange. I know it's off the back of them tagging Lachie Neale the previous week, but seriously, you're playing one of the bottom sides.
Yeah, look, that's something that we did last week. We don't do it very often, and obviously Lachie Neale is an unbelievably talented player and has a massive impact on games. So we'll sit down tomorrow as a coaching group, look at our strategy going forward into this game. But, that is something we have got up our sleeve, but it's not something that we'll do every week, and we'll make that a week-to-week decision on that. But there's no doubt that Harmsy's got that ability and it's worked for us on the weekend. But, as I said, we'll have that discussion tomorrow.
Very, very respectful.
That's the right way to answer.
Yeah, and I hope come Monday when we're talking to Lairdy and Adelaide have got the 4 points, I'm saying, can't understand why they didn't tag you.
Oh, here we go.
Now, we've had a text
the
coming through.
Expert. Yeah,
we've had a text coming through in regards to Todd Marshall, Darcy Fogarty. Someone asked earlier what the goal average was for the two players. So we will reveal that. Yes. We'll reveal that with Matty Rendell after
Good
the
point.
News.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Rooch.
Cool, 4:35 on a Wednesday afternoon, a wet Wednesday afternoon. Take it easy on the roads. It is absolutely bucketing down in the city at the moment. It is really, really heavy. If you've got a brolly, grab it if you're making your way to the car. We are with you thanks to Balfour's. No matter your club's colours, Balfour's are for the game. Just a reminder, around 4:50, we'll be joined by Brett Phillips to preview day 3 at Wimbledon. Day 2 was interesting with Nick Kyrgios putting on a bit of a show on and off the court.
Oh, yes.
We'll get to that a little bit later. Our next guest is an absolute beauty. He's known as the List Guru. We've got a few questions for him today and a stack of texts coming through. Matty Rendell joins us. G'day, Matthew.
Good afternoon, fellas. I just wanted to go on a little one-minute read, if I can, to start the show.
Please.
If that's okay.
Go. Please.
I picked this fella in the draft that no one wanted and brought him over to Adelaide, and he's been able to set himself up for the rest of his life, captain of the club, and a beautiful family. And he goes on national television last week and thanks Hamish Ogilvie for picking him. Rory Sloan, I want a correction in the next week. Twitter will do. Rory, I picked you, not Hamish Ogilvie.
I did see that, Matty. I did see that.
I fell off the chair when I was watching it. And I've got another one.
Was he even there then?
Okay. Yeah, Hamish was there. Me and Hamish were working together.
Right, okay. Yep.
Yeah, but that was the second year I was there, 2008. Please, Rory. I know Hamish is still working there, so maybe Hamish put him up to it.
Now, we'll get our people to speak to his people.
I've got another one. Pick the bloke in the draft prior, no one else wanted, and now he's turned into a superstar off the field, and he wins a Logie, and no thanks to me for picking him in the draft in 2007. Tony Armstrong, I want a correction on Twitter, please.
You're not getting much love, are you, Matt?
He didn't. Josh Jenkins,
too. He can give me some love as well. He'd be still back in Yechuka. If I hadn't brought him over from Melbourne.
I always pump you up on that one because, I'm being serious. You didn't get enough credit for it. There was so much talk about Adelaide losing Kurt Tippett. You got him in as a backup in case that happened. And in all fairness, he ended up having a better career post that departure of Kurt than what Kurt had.
And I think also at the time we lost Jonathan Griffith to Frio at the same time. Mm. So we were devoid. So we chased him hard, Josh, and he ended up making a fortune in Adelaide, and now he's the king of SEN and Melbourne, and I think it's Sportsbet he does work for as well.
Yeah, well, he's always been massively into the horses. He was more harness racing than the thoroughbreds, but he's footed in both camps.
Did you recruit Matt Crouch to Adelaide?
No, I didn't. And he was traded for the pick. They traded to Melbourne for Bernie Vince. Yep. So that was ended up being really good. Crouch gave great service. Bernie Vince was really good for Melbourne too when they were on the climb. But he was at the end of his career. Look, Crouch, he just doesn't fit into the Crows anymore. I mean, you need to play Cooks, Peddlers, Berry, Hatley. They're at 19, 20, 21 years of age. Crouchy's, I think, 26, maybe rising 27.
Yep. Well, he should be in the prime of his career.
With a year to go. No, but they're down the... They're on the rebuild. So when they get really good in probably 2 or 3 years' time, he's going to be gone. So why wouldn't you put games into these blokes I'm talking about? The bloke I'd love to see go into the midfield, and Port Adelaide have set the agenda here with Rosie. I mean, they've been outstanding, Port Adelaide, since they made that move halfway through the Carlton game.
Oh, no, but they tried to do it last year. In fairness to Ken Hinckley, and he was on SEN this morning, he was injured. He was all part of the plans last year. And just on Matty Crouch, though, because we get a lot of correspondence on it, and obviously the natives are restless for the Adelaide Crows. And we hear it about Tom Mitchell when Hawthorn's going bad, what's he do with the footy? We hear it about Darcy Parrish. We hear it about a lot of players. And I think he's got a lot of AFL footy left still. If he went to Brisbane he'd be a good player.
At the right club, yeah.
Yeah, Collingwood. Where do you think he should go? And what's he worth?
I don't know where... I had this discussion with some of the other... I don't know which club he suits. So, but there'll be a club. But, Tom Mitchell's a better player in that space than he is. He causes more goal or scoring assists than what Crouchy does. He tends to go so away. The biggest thing that frustrates me with Crouchy is how many times he calls for the ball on his right leg and he can't kick right. And he goes sideways too often. But what I love about his game is that he's forever getting his teammates out of trouble because he's always there for a handball receive.
Yep.
And that's all. And you need someone in your team like that. So he's got a spot somewhere else. I don't know where it is. But you know what, Crow supporters, you're only going to get a third rounder for him. He's got a year to go in his contract. At best, you're going to get a third rounder.
I still think he's a bloody good player, and he's going to play good footy if they move him on. I understand exactly what you're saying with team balance. Let's move on, because Reach has a question for you. We've got it up on our Twitter handle, The Run Home, SENSA. We've got a poll going. I'll give you the results in a moment. I think it's a loaded question, but I understand where he's coming from.
So, Matt, because of your expertise in building this, I have appointed you as the list manager of Tasmania. And you're allowed to raid into South Australia like you can in the AFLW. On the whiteboard, you're told you can have Todd Marshall or Darcy Fogarty. And, of course, in comes, the champion data people, and they give you the stats. Marshall's played 69 games. He averages 9.35 disposals. Fogarty, 50 games. Disposals, 8.56. Marks, Marshall, 3.8. Fogarty, 3.34. Now, this one is interesting. Average goals, Marshall, 1.28. Darcy Fogarty, 1.28. Goal assists, Marshall, 0.49. Fogarty, 0.46. So the numbers aren't much to look at.
Age?
Oh, there'd be a year difference, wouldn't they?
I'd have to check.
It wouldn't be much anyway.
Fogarty, 22. Marshall will be, he might be 22, 23 maybe.
That wouldn't be an issue.
23 could be. Yeah,
that's not the issue.
Look, they've both been slow starters. Obviously, family circumstances for Marshall cut a year or two out of the start of his career. But he was a big, skinny kid anyway, with not a lot of confidence. Fogarty... Well, his situation has been well documented. He was nowhere near fit enough, with nowhere near the work rate to be a key forward. The blessing for Fogarty is he got Darren Burgess there, and we saw what he did with Petrarca. He turned him into a great player to a superstar, and I reckon he's turned Fogarty from a average player to a good player at the moment. That's all he is, a good player at the moment. So he's had a good little patch, and he can see his confidence is up, and he can do a lot of things because he's got the body to outbody people. Didn't realise how quick he was, and he is quick.
Yep.
And the beauty of what Fogarty's doing, he's getting up to the wing and half back even and running back. He would have never done that before Burgess got there. So his fitness has improved heaps. Who would I take? I would take Marshall because I still think there's a massive amount of upside for him. Plus the other factor, if you get end up with some key forwards, I think he could play as a key back, and you know he can do part-time ruck at some stage. I think he's got more versatility, and he is a really hard matchup.
Great answer, Matty. Fogarty, 22 years of age, Marshall, 23. And with our poll on our Twitter handle, The Run Home, SENSA, 40% would take Fogg, 60% would take Marshall. I think that's understandable. Hey, we've got a bit to get through still. The other thing, all the prophets of doom are saying that David Noble is gone and Jeff Walsh will come in and do all the dirty work. You've worked with Walshy. What do you think will happen in that situation?
It's an interesting one. Geez, they were ordinary, weren't they, North on the weekend against the Crows. I mean, the Crows were good, but what were they thinking with McKay forward and not playing on Tex or Fogarty? What are you trying to do here? You're trying to fix your forward line, but you can't get it in there because every player on their list has gone backwards from last year. Mm. So the end of last year, they started to look really good. Admittedly, Cunnington was playing in the team and he was carrying a fair few on his shoulders, but every player in their team has gone backwards. I can't think of one. I actually thought maybe Tristan Zeri, the ruckman, but he wasn't playing, so he's coming off a low base. They've all gone backwards. Greenwood looks a shadow of himself. Anderson, LDU, Goldstein, Larkey, not the same player. Turner, I like in defence last year, playing on small forwards. He's gone backwards. McKay's had a lot of injuries. That tells me you've got major problems in your club. You don't often see that. So that happened at Collingwood and Buckley went. Every player virtually went backwards at Collingwood, which means you either completely stuffed up your pre-season, which happens a lot, surprisingly happens a lot. I can't believe it still happens in this day and age. Or they're making it too complicated, the coaching staff at the game, and they look like they don't know what they're doing, which is what it looks like to me.
Jeff Walsh.
The players, and they certainly haven't got that. Jeff Walsh.
He went to Carlton, and he was the one that got rid of
Well, he did their review, but David Teague was already gone, so Walsh has gone there. If you look at their hierarchy, North, they've got zero, hardly any experience in their key posts. I mean, the football director, the legend, I can't think of it, Tommy. Come on. The left-footed legend, Tuffy.
Rock.
He's never been involved in a footy club. No, not Anthony
Archer.
Rock. Stephen. He's never been involved full-time in a footy club. Yeah. Obviously, the president has, I can't think of a first name, Hood's his second name.
Yeah.
The CEO, no. Brady Rawlings is young in there, and so is Daniel McPherson coming from Melbourne as the footy manager's young in there. They've got no experience, real football experience in there, so Walshy will help there. But my biggest worry with Walshy, and I get on really well with Walshy, and that he left an awful mess at Collingwood when he left.
And North Melbourne.
There's not one. at the end of 17, there's not one person left at the club at Collingwood that he appointed or put in positions. I think Chris Dixon might be the only one, might be one, which is a worry for me. And the whole salary cap and the dump and players unhappy. And God, it was a mess at the end at Collingwood. But he's extremely experienced and a smart bloke. And hopefully they can sort North out because they've had this is a horror year. And everyone should be worried about their position there.
Matty, we've got 90 seconds because we've got Brett Phillips coming up and I've got four questions of text coming through. So just a really quick answer. So does David Noble survive?
No.
Does Ben Amalfi survive?
No.
Okay, let's move on to the next one. We've got a stack of texts coming through. This one came through from Mark from Perth. Can you ask Matty, Tarek Newchurch, should the Crows play him? He had 20 disposals and 4 goals.
Oh, though, please play him. Please play him. Beautiful. He is an excitement machine.
Another one that's come through for Port Adelaide. Could you ask Matty, would you grab Taron Thomas for Port Adelaide? And what would he be worth?
Oh, absolutely.
What would he
be worth?
In a
heartbeat.
What would he be worth?
Oh, you're going to cough up your first rounder.
Really?
Well, yeah, Taron Thomas.
I know. But
his best is really good. He's had, I told you, they've all gone backwards. He's one of them. If you can pinch a North player, go for it, because I think there's a lot of upside with their players.
There's a good text there about a Collingwood player I think would fit very nicely in South Australia.
One. Last one here. Arvo boys, can you ask Matt Rendell if he thinks Caleb Poulter would be gettable by the Crows and what he's heard on Mackesy as well, Worrell and Scholl in particular. Scholl to Carlton as per Miles Fitzner, and he's pretty well played Santful since that rumour was dropped. That's from Lockie. So one of our colleagues, Miles Fitzner, and he gets a bit of good mail.
Yeah, look, Solly, look, he probably should be in front of Hamill there. Right? Hamill's been a bit disappointing, so but I can't see him fitting in Carlton's team. I don't think it's any better there. I think he should stick it out for another year and try and get in that team.
Poulter?
I think there's spots for him. Scholl and Poulter, yes. Definitely have a crack at him. Absolutely have a crack to
you
play
like
on the
him.
Wing.
All right, and the future for Mackesy.
With Seedsman, well, it looks like Seedsman is he going to play again?
Well, we've got next year.
And you've got Hatley on one wing, who's a ringside mid. They actually got a spot for him, Poulter, if they went after him.
Yep. All right, and just a quick Mackesy future, yes, no?
He'll be interstate, I would think.
All right. Hey, beautifully summed up today. You gave us some absolute gems, Matty. Always enjoy chatting to you. Apologies to the other techs. We couldn't get to them all. We've got to talk tennis in a moment. Hey, Matty, we'll chat to you again next week. We'll get Tony Armstrong. We'll get that sorted out for you, and we'll get Rory Sloane on as well.
Thank you very much, fellas. See you later.
There he is, Matty Rendell. He's a beauty. I did hear that interview on the front bar, and Rory Sloane, and he's thanking Hamish Ogilvie, and I'm thinking, it was Matt Rendell that got him. Pick 55, I think. All right, it's 4:49. We've got to talk tennis with Brett Phillips coming up next. I'm still full of the Holy Grail. 5:06. Tomorrow's car is in stock today. You can tech drive a Hyundai Tucson Turbo Diesel all-wheel drive now. Go down and see your local Hyundai dealer. They are wonderful people. He was a bit like you today, BP, the living dead.
Well, it was a bit harsh for you to suggest he'd had half a bottle of
something.
Sounded
like it.
No.
Fair call.
He's working hard.
It made him laugh.
His body clock's all over the place.
Oh, I know. It does muck you up a bit. Yeah. Text coming through from Brett regarding Nick Kyrgios. Brett, he says, I reckon Kyrgios needs to spend 2 years away from tennis in a Tibetan Buddhist temple and then come back with a new calm outlook on life, because his me against the world attitude will only snowball if he continues his career the way it is.
What about...
It's a good point, Brady, but his career is getting towards the closing stages, not the beginning.
We went through his press conference, naturally grab a few of the grabs, but his argument about spectators throwing back the criticism at him, as happened at Wimbledon overnight, and he draws the comparison, oh, would you go to the supermarket and have a crack at the guy who's scanning your gear as you're going through the checkout?
It's not the best analogy,
Nick,
is it?
I don't go to the supermarket to watch people scan them, but I do go to tennis and pay good money. There is a difference, Nick. He was all over the shop with his press conference. And he didn't like it. Didn't like it when they came back to him about the eyesight of the Lions people.
Well, he was rude to the Lions gentleman.
Yes.
The linesman.
Yes.
Yeah. And his claim just continued.
Well, he was virtually being ageist, saying that none of those line officials should be 60 and older, saying that as you get old, your eyesight gets worse, so they shouldn't be there.
It's a fair point, though. And the response was from the journalist that you don't know. That 60-year-old gentleman could have 20/20 vision. Yeah. I don't know if it works that way. I don't know any 60-year-old that sees as well. I know what I'm calling games, Rooch, on the other side of the ground.
Well, what are tennis players like when they have to make some calls?
I'm not 60 yet. They're terrible.
Exactly.
It's just like the cricketers when they go to the DRS.
Oh,
they've got no idea.
Exactly.
And one of the worst in tennis is one of the best and fairest players, and that's Roger Federer. His strike rate is shocking.
Yep.
When we spoke to Matt Rendell, a text came through saying, and it's not Mario or Chopsy either, saying, I shouldn't read it out, but it says Ogilvie couldn't pick his nose. Yeah, Adelaide's had a few misses in the draft. We know that. What else have we got here? Now, you gave the averages on the goals for the Fogg and Marshall, so thank you. Just on that, Fogg's dropped back a bit. If you could recruit one player and it had to be Todd Marshall or Darcy Fogarty, who would you go for? This is on our Twitter account, the Run Home SENSA. Fogarty's dropped to 38%, Marshall 62%. I reckon that's understandable. Now, Rooch, this one gets you fired up, I think. This one says, if Hinkley was a real coach, he would play Amon in the seconds for the rest of the year because he's clearly going.
That is ridiculous. He's contracted players, giving his best.
Yep.
So if you work that in reverse, Kim, how many players who are going out of contract know they won't be recontracted?
Yeah, I know.
Do they then go to Ken Hinkley and say, well, if you're not playing me next year, I'm not playing this year?
Mm.
You're contracted, you do the job. Now, if at the end of the year, Carl Amon decides to take up free agency, good luck to him.
Yeah, I know, we need to be more mature about it.
Absolutely.
I would only suggest that there's a case. Just say that Port mathematically can't make the finals. Now, he's in your best 18 every day at the moment.
Yeah.
And you're two games out and you can't make it.
Yeah.
I don't know where that sits contractually, what you can and can't do. But I would then be happy to look at a younger player.
Here's a line ball call. It's now round 23 showdown. And we're just playing a showdown for pride, so to speak.
Yeah. Oh, you've got plenty of pride.
Well, that's it. So here, you've got a choice between Carl Amon and Miles Bergman. What do you do?
Well, depending on Miles' form.
I'm saying they're equal in terms of, but they're in different perspectives. One, you're going to bank in for the next 5 years. Carl Amon's probably going to go.
He's had some big games anyway, Miles Bergman. He's had an unfortunate year with
We're just doing a hypothetical.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was saying before. In that scenario, I would go with a younger player probably.
Right.
Rooch, also, we didn't get a chance to talk about it yesterday. Mm. It's reared its ugly head again. I'm happy to bring it up if people want to talk about it. I understand it, but it just gets a bit tedious. There's been a couple of texts about the Port Adelaide Prison Bars Wharf Pylon Jumper. Just to appease everyone. Yep.
Oh, well, that one is being... Port Adelaide will put an application in every year to wear it in the showdowns. Mm. They put that one in at the start of the year. It's going nowhere because the AFL keeps saying, go to Collingwood and deal with them. And Collingwood say, well, when you get the heritage rounds back, you can wear it. We're going to go round and round in circles. Now, your point about agreements, you know, Port signed an agreement.
That's a fact.
Yeah. Well, I went, not personally, but I went to Albion today, and I didn't go through all the agreements, but Port has, because they want to get this sorted out, get it right. What have they committed to? Because it's a new administration there, right?
Mm.
What they have found is, even before they entered the AFL, or VFL expanded in 1990, as they went then, the agreements go back to 1986, before Port had even considered going into the National League, where Collingwood and every VFL club gave their name, their jumpers, their logos to the AFL. You remember the reconfiguration of the league with the commission? And Collingwood's agreement to hand over said there must not be any other team in the competition in black and white.
Which is fair enough by them going back then.
And not 100% sure, but I gather Richmond did the same to stop West Coast being black and gold because they're WA colours. Because we know what the WA state jumper's like. Now, all these agreements are so far back. It's time now for Port and Collingwood to sit down and say, what is in the best interests of the fans, the game, the heritage of both clubs? I don't see where Port Adelaide wearing that jumper in the showdown hurts Collingwood. Does it hurt Collingwood?
No. Look, you know my views on it. You don't want to be creepers, though. And we've often talked about
it's
this.
Got to be a firm agreement.
You wanted both showdowns.
Well, I still think it should be
I don't think that's...
Well, that's my point.
Yeah, but that's disrespectful, I think, to Adelaide, unless Adelaide's happy for you to do it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, what you're trying to do by wear your heritage jumper is to cash in on one of your strongest marketing tools, and that is your heritage.
Yeah, but they...
Which is fine, but that shouldn't be at the expense of a home game.
Yeah, but Port argues that that image helps the showdown, helps
Adelaide.
And
that's what I'm saying. If Adelaide embrace that's fine.
So that's the sentiment, that it helps the
showdown.
And we've
spoken about this that many times, which, you know, I don't lose any sleep on it either way. I understand what Port's trying to do. We've had texts, though, today, and that came through yesterday as well, saying you can't pick and choose what history you want to celebrate. If you really want to wear your traditional jumper, it's the Is it the light blue and hoop one? Light blue and white?
Kim, they've had so many jumpers.
Well, that's what I mean. So.
But the most traditional jumper, when you think of Port Adelaide, what do you associate?
Well, because of when I was born. That's exactly. What I associate. Exactly. I'm not looking for an argument. I'm just reading them out.
We are in a year where Hawthorn has been able to wear a heritage jumper in honour of Peter Hudson. We've got Sydney wearing the South Melbourne jumper when they play in Melbourne. Mm. We've got Brisbane, who, and this is the one that staggers me, allowed to wear red, gold and blue against Adelaide at Adelaide Oval. Where's the AFL say, hang on, that's a clash. Sorry, we understand, Brisbane, you want to appreciate the history of Fitzroy, but you don't wear it against Adelaide when it's red, gold and blue.
There's arguments in regards to all of those, but yeah. I'll take it as a statement.
Yeah, well, for my statement is the showdown is better off if we have Port Adelaide wear the bars. It's part of the history of SA footy. It goes to all what we've known. It's been Port Adelaide and the rest. That's what 1990 was all about. It enters the showdown. Doesn't hurt Collingwood. Let's just get this over and done with.
Okay, I'm going to send an invoice to the Port Adelaide Football Club for that advertisement, Rooch. We're going to take a break. It's 5:15. Beautifully done. What have we got here? Oh, someone agreeing that I'm not 60 yet. Of course, I'll never be.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and the Roots.
4:55, take it easy on the roads. It's a very wet Wednesday now if you're heading home. We've had a lot of rain and they're looking very slippery here, the roads, here at number 1 King William Street in the city. We're here thanks to Balfour's, no matter your club's colours. Balfour's are for the game. We go from the list guru, Matty Rendell, to the tennis guru, Brett Phillips. All thanks to Yonex. 60 years of performance tennis products crafted in Japan. Check out their latest range of yonex.com. I was nearly going to text the great man last night. I was sitting up watching his favourite player, Nick Kyrgios, nearly lose in five, thinking how happy BP would be.
You didn't have to wait long, Brett, did you?
He got over the line.
Come on.
Well, he keeps delivering, Nick.
Oh, he doesn't. Well, he was playing a bike. He should have beaten
him
straight
sets.
No,
I mean he keeps delivering headlines. Yeah. Brett loves the Nick Kyrgios show.
No, he doesn't.
It's consistent. Let's give him that.
Well, it's entertaining if you wanted to go down that path.
All right. We put it on a plate for you last night to have a crack at him, and you wouldn't take the bait. His behaviour last night. Let's have a listen to Nick. It's only 9 seconds. This is Nick talking about the rowdy crowd.
Crowd was pretty rowdy today. Cold people in the crowd, not shy of criticising me. So that one was for you. You know who you are.
Now, when he was in Australia and he nearly incited a riot, it was all okay when it was on his terms.
Yeah, that's a pretty good summary, Richard. It's
that was Kim.
It's a little hard to work out, isn't it? It's quite Kim. It's a little contradictory. I've only had about half an hour sleep today.
Half a bottle.
Kim.
I think I'm just overawed following Matt Rendell. I used to follow him in the outer watching Fitzroy. Yeah. But anyway, we digress. he wants this sort of new age crowd to be a bit more raucous, a bit looser. But then when it got a bit loose, and he does provoke, I suppose, some sideline commentary. I mean, particularly on those outside courts when you've got, you know, the rank and file who are going along, not sucking on the cucumber sandwiches inside centre court. This is a different type of vibe out there. And people are voyeurs. They're curious. They'll see him on the schedule. Let's duck out there. Let's have a look because something will happen that we enjoy going along to watch sport, the unpredictability of. And then I suppose it then gets to a point where each individual decides, no, I don't mind that. That's all right. But then it gets, it's you're gone past the mark there. And people will display their emotion in different forms towards Nick. And, it was a typical sort of night. I mean, we're just talking about the tennis on court. I mean, I think he summed it up. And he, you know, give him his dues. He's always had a pretty good tennis IQ, which makes him difficult to coach because he believes he knows all the answers and can't be told by anyone on the outside. So he knew he wasn't playing well. But that's sport, isn't it? I mean, you know, the outsider throws up the challenge, and in tennis, I mean, the top 300 can play at a pretty good level. They just don't do it consistently enough, which separates the pack But, yeah, not ideal to play a five-setter in the first round. But then, yes, there is all this other stuff going on. I love Maria Cicek in the chair last night. She's a great lady, Maria. Very no-fuss sort of umpire. She had that wry smile. And, you know, she just sort of dealt with everything that was going on. The constant chatter at the sit-downs and, you know, questioning whether the spectators should be kicked out. And, obviously, there was the racism situation in Stuttgart going back 3 weeks ago, the claims there. And going into his... I haven't actually seen the press conference, just with the nature of the role I do overnight, but I've got to catch up on that, but I believe he's been at dinner.
He gets twisted.
Yeah, well, let's just hear when he was asked about spitting in the direction of the fans.
At the end, you did appear to spit in the direction of...
Of one of the people disrespecting me, yes.
So that was deliberate to show
Yes,
you
I would not be doing that to someone who was supporting me.
Well, now surely the Grand Slam board says you're not spitting at anyone at any time, thank you, Nick.
Well, he's about 20 metres away.
Well, no, it's just it's wrong, full stop.
Yeah. I mean, I've never been able to totally figure it out. I mean, you can be different and you can want to entertain and be a different sort of character away from the norm of, but... I don't even know quite how to articulate it these days.
Well, we'll move on.
I've got fatigue.
Yeah, no, that's all right. And we should give credit to the Brit too, Paul Jubb. The Jubster, the young man, taking Nick to five sets. So he tried really hard. Mm. Hey, massive night tonight. You'll be up and about for this when the cock takes on the Joker, the Nasi Kokkinakis. Mm. So I reckon he'll win a set. Maybe two.
Yeah, he's certainly capable. Yeah, absolutely. I just hope he's recovered well. He feels good. Physically, what an occasion for him to play on centre court at Wimbledon. That's what players dream of. James Duckworth got his chance. I've always spoken to Sam Groth about the time he played on centre court. Took a set off Roger Federer. It's a moment to savour and cherish. And look, he played at a really good level in that first round. If he can have the patience to go with Djokovic. That's going to be the key for Thanasi. There's just been some signs in the last few months that he's just got a bit impatient in rallies and tries to play the big winning shot a little too early. I'll be fascinated to be a fly on the wall in the game plan of trying to break down the brick wall that is Novak. But, yeah, look, we hope a few more Australians can keep going because last night was, apart from the Kyrgios show, Demonor was great, Jordan Thompson was great, and Jason Kubler. Let's get on the Kubler. Gravy train, gents, because the Queenslander is playing sublime tennis and he is a ripping young guy who you should try and get on your program at some stage because he's got a good story. You know, 7 knee operations, written off. Doctor said don't play on a hard court ever again. He played on clay for a while. He's always had this enormous talent. He was in and out of a combi van travelling around the world, earning peanuts, and now he's on these bigger stages getting a reward. So I love the... I naturally gravitate towards the Jason Kubler story.
Now, Brett, we give you a hard time with your predictions, but you have got this one right. Serena Williams, it is not going... Well, it's not going at all from here on. Certainly not going to get another Grand Slam, is she?
No. It's too much. If Harmony Tan Rich is beating you on centre court at Wimbledon, Harmony Tan, who'd never played on any of the bigger courts, has never played the slams really, she had her moment in the sun. I loved it. It was the underdog. It was the absolute underdog getting up, who went in with little belief that she could maybe take a handful of games off Serena. You're just about cooked when you're losing to Harmony Tan, and that's no disrespect to her. But, I mean, look, there were times when it was the 25-year-old Serena out on court last night. She was running like a gazelle, and she's chasing things left, right and centre. But it wore her down in the end, and it's just hard work when you've hardly played any tennis for the best part of 12 months. So we'll wait and see if there's possibly another chapter maybe at the US Open.
Harmony Tan. Okay. I thought it was a girl pop band. Never heard of her.
Well, go and watch the Nick Kyrgios press conference. You will have a bellyache.
Yeah, we're going to let you get a little bit of rest. Just one quick one. We're 3 minutes late for the news. We'll get in trouble, but we love talking to you. One I'm looking forward to tonight, Andy Murray and Johnny Isner. Which way will that go?
Yeah, good battle. Two guys in their mid to late 30s. John serving thunderbolts. Andy, one of the best returners in the game, digging in with those metal hips. Ooh, I think the British crowd might just give him that 1% edge he needs to see off Big John.
I'm still yet to see Andy's mum smile.
No.
Stone-faced Judy. Yes. She's a great lady too. One of the great ladies in tennis, Judy Murray. But I think Yvonne Lendl whispered in her ear and said, "Don't smile. You're not allowed to smile."
Yeah, very similar.
An Andy Murray match.
Hey, BP, always love talking to you. What time did you get to bed this morning?
Thank you, guys.
What time did you get to bed this morning?
Oh, sorry. I had the phone beeping in my ear. We got into bed 10 o'clock this morning, so a little quiet.
Yep. All right, we'll chat to you again tomorrow. Have a great night.
Thank you very much.
He was a little puffed today, I think. Freddie Phillips, he's a ripper.
That was harsh.
Wimbledon, thanks to Yonex, 76 years of performance tennis products crafted in Japan. Check out their latest range at yonex.com. They bring us Brett Phillips every night. 4 minutes late for the news, Rooch.
A Balfour's in one hand and your team colours in the other. Balfour's are for the game. Introducing Staria Load, the only van with both ANCAP 5-star and Platinum safety rating.
You're listening to The Run Home with Kimbo and The Rooch.
5:20, I'm up and about, Rooch. I'm all excited. I've been worried for a couple of weeks.
No, he's been king of Croydon.
I even said to you off air, Rooch, if you're responsible for losing Ange from Croydon, the original Ange.
No.
So I know you're banging heads over Kenny Hinkley.
Yes.
And I'm starting to worry about Ange, but it looks like he's on the dog and bone. We're going to put him through. Oh, look at Ben just chatting. We're doing a radio show, Ben. Whack him on. Have we got Ange there?
While we're waiting for him.
Is he there?
One thing from the tribunal last night.
Yep.
It was a written submission. There wasn't an actual hearing. But James Sicily took issue about being fined for taking Aaron Norton's headband off. He got $1,000 for that.
He pulled his hair as well.
Oh, well, okay. But misconduct for taking off the headband.
All right, now I am excited. I got a bit flat then. Like, he was there, then he was gone. We got Ange back, have we? Are you there, Ange?
Yeah, boys, how are you?
Ange, I've been genuinely worried. We haven't heard from you for weeks. We thought you'd gone to the dark side.
No, I'm still here. I'm still around. I listen to you, but I just can't get on, that's all.
Oh, well, we're on now. What have you been up to?
Just, you know what it is. It's like family stuff and working, that sort of stuff, yeah.
I thought maybe Rooch had upset you and you'd given us the, you know what.
Nah, man, why? No, I love you guys. You guys are great. I look forward to listening to the show every night.
Beautiful. And then my other thought process was, because Port are winning and you could make the eight.
You can't lose, Ange, can you?
I can't lose.
You were the first to say at the start of the year they wouldn't make the eight. I reckon you were half joking when you first said it and then you stuck by it.
No, I was serious. I was pretty serious. I actually said it in December last year before you guys went to Christmas, but anyway.
Oh, you're sounding light, Rooch, now.
Yeah, I know. Hey, boys, I want to talk about Nick Kyrgios. I find it a little bit staggering that everyone is shocked every time he does something or says something. I mean, that's Nick Kyrgios. It's just who he is. I mean, I'd be more shocked if he didn't actually have comments like that or spit on the ground. I mean, spitting's a bit of rough one, but, you know, I just think that he's the reason why I watch tennis. I find tennis just a little bit boring, and but he's one of the reasons why I actually watch tennis. And if I was to name some tennis players, I could name Nadal, Federer, Djokovic, and then it's Kyrgios. I couldn't name anyone else.
To watch, I look at it slightly different.
I know,
And I know he's entertaining. I love watching his tennis. And I don't mind it when he's theatrical and he asks the crowd, you know, where should I serve, down the middle or out wide and all that stuff. And you can be emotional. But would you like one of your children to show the disrespect and the manners that he shows at times?
I would educate my children, explain to them that Nick Kyrgios is Nick Kyrgios. This is the way he plays. Nadal is the way he plays, and Federer is the way. And don't forget, Federer used to be a bit of a wild child before he became number one as well. So
A little bit silky, a little bit, not rude to the extent of Nick Kyrgios. So.
No, but I just think that Nick Kyrgios is who he is. And you know what? For me, I watch his games because I get everything. I get the fence. He's a great tennis player. He comes up with some amazing strokes and great shots. And you know, when he really, really fights and really wants to win the game. You can actually see the way he plays. It's just awesome, you know. So I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing.
And we like it when you ring Ange. We've got 50 seconds to go, so we've got to wrap it up. Don't be a stranger. Do you beat Freo, yes or no?
Yeah, they'll beat Freo.
Ooh, the dream is still alive. Good on you, Ange. We absolutely love you. Stack of texts coming through. Won't have a time to get to all of them. How does Dylan live with waking up every day and saying, bugger, another day with Ruchi? That's Ethel from Ethelton.
Ethel from Ethelton.
I tell you what, Ethel, that'd be a genuine call. I use more expletives than bugger. Don't you worry about that. Right. Having a week with this prickly person every day.
Oh, very good.
Thanks for your company. We'll be back again tomorrow. Big show coming up. Got no idea who's on.
Good night, everyone.
All right.